Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chaf. We are at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. So the Gemara is on Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Tes got into a technical discussion of exactly where on the Behema or the Oif the Shechita is supposed to happen. So everybody knows what's Shechita. It's the prescribed method of killing an animal which would render an animal kosher. Meaning, you could have a kosher animal, such as a cow or a chicken, but depending on how you kill the animal, that will determine whether the meat that comes from the animal is kosher or whether the meat that comes from the animal is not kosher. If the animal is killed via shechita, then the meat that comes from the animal is kosher. Otherwise, it's nevela, possibly trefa, there's isuri achila, malchus toma, you run into a whole host of issues. So what exactly is shechita? For a behema, it would mean that you would have to sever the majority of the kana, the trachea, and the veshet, the esophagus. As it relates to a knife, you don't have to shecht both simonim. As long as you shecht one simon is enough. And you can pick the one you want. Either the kana or the veshet, roiv of simon echad when it comes to a knife, roiv of shnei simonim when it comes to a behemoth. But what we saw in yesterday's daf was that you can't just pick any part of the kana or the veshet and do the shechit over there. The topic was the kana, and there's a big machlokes in the Gemara. What exact part of the kana does the shechita have to take place in? The shita of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, as mentioned in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, is that the only time the shechita is kosher is if the kana, again, we're talking about the kana, not the veshet, was severed on the tabas hagdoyla. That's a very thick piece of cartilage that encases the entire trachea towards the top. It's not such a big piece, but it's over there that the shechita has to take place. Reb Chanina ben Antignus was another shita in the Tana. He said, Eidos, that you have a little bit more flexibility. Meaning the Tabas HaGdoyla is a good Malkum shechita, but you can go above the Tabas HaGdoyla as well. What the Gemara refers to as the koiva, or the helmet of the trachea. That part is also okay, but not all of it, only up until the Adam's apple. Once you go above the Adam's apple, at that point, it wouldn't be kosher. The Gemara brought a Shittas Reish Lakish who held that no, you can even go above the Adam's apple. You go all the way up until the mouth. If you remember from Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, there was even a fourth Shita where the Gemara had suggested that it could be, it's possible to do a Shita beneath the Tabas HaGdoyla. We didn't speak about that yesterday. But as long as you go in between the cartilage that surrounds the Kana, shaped like a horseshoe. If you go in between that cartilage, it could be, it would be a kosher shechita as well, but the Gemara immediately discussed that. The point is that not every part of the kana is kosher shechita. You have to make sure that it's the kana, number one, and number two, you get the right part of the kana. What's the halacha? So the Gemara said twice on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph that the halacha is like Reb Chanina ben Antignus. The first words on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph were the hilchasa mishifui koiva ulamata, from the Adam's apple up until the bottom of the Tabas HaGdoyla. That's Shitas Reb Chanina ben Antignus. And then about 10 lines down or so, the Gemara said again, because the great Reb Nachman held like Reb Chanina ben Antignus, that's checkmate. That must be the halachas like Reb Chanina ben Antignus. The Mishnah now is going to say another Chiddush. And that is that even if you shecht the kana, and you even get it in the right place, you get it mishifui koivu lamata, or you get it in the Tabas HaGdoyla, so it's the right part of the kana, but you still have to get it from the right angle. Meaning, you have to get it, as we'll see in the Mishnah, from the front of the animal and not from the back of the animal. So today's Mishnah is going to really pick up on the shmuz of the previous two dafin, and that is discussing a little bit more precisely, a little bit more accurately, where the makom hashechita is as it relates to the kana and the veshet. Additionally, what we're going to see in today's daf and in tomorrow's daf is the Gemara is going to digress a little and talk about the laws of malika. And the reason we're going to be talking about malika is because we'll see the Mishnah is going to compare and contrast shechitas oif versus malika oif. So just a little bit of a background. We learned Masechta Zvachim and Menachis already, Azachim v'Ragel when it comes to the laws of malika, right? So, but what basically is malika? Malika is that when they used to bring an oif as a carpet in the base of Mikdash, whether it was a chatas oif or it was an oilas oif, rather than the kohen shechting the oif, which is what you would do if it was chulin and you wanted to eat from it. The kohen had to do a special avoda. It was called malika. Malika was not done with a klisharis. The kohen would take the fingernail, the tzipoirin, of the thumb of his right hand, and as we'll see more precisely, he would stick it through the neck from behind the oif, he would sever the same simen he would sever if he was doing shechitas. And now that we're learning Masechtas Chulin, we can appreciate it a little better. So at the end of the day, he's trying to accomplish what a sheichet would try to accomplish if he was shechting an oif that was chulin. But whereas shechitas oif happens with a sakin, happens with a chalif, and you have all the halachas of shia and adrasa, etc., etc. When it comes to malika, it's a separate shulchan aruch. And the most important one is that it's not done with a sakin. It's actually done with the fingernail of the kohen. It also is not done from the front. It's done mimul orpay, the Torah says. It's done from behind. Either way, with that short hakdama, zokta mishnah, sheichet benat stadim, if somebody's shechting an animal or a knife, and he shechts the simonim, but he comes from the sides. So the sheichet went to the side of the animal. He did a shechita. He followed the Shulchan Aruch, Yerideya, precisely exactly how it's supposed to be done. But rather than shechting the simanim coming from the front of the neck of the animal, he came from the sides. Says the Mishnah Shechitasik Sheh, that does not disqualify the Shechitah. Someone, however, does Malika Menat Sadim, Malika Sepsu, then the Malika is going to be possible. Shechit Min Ha'oireth, if someone does Shechita, regular Shechita Schulin from the neck, so again, the Shechit shechted the two simanim. He got the kana, he got the veshet. If it was a knife, he got either the kana or the veshet. But if he came from the oirif, the halach is shchitasai psula. Hamoylik min oirif. If the kohen did malika from the oirif, malika sekshera, then the malika is going to be kasha. In fact, that's the way malika is supposed to be done. Now we're going to see in the Gemara that oirif usually means the back of the head. So the front of the head, that's your face. The back of your head would be your oirif. And it sounds like malik is supposed to be done on the back of the head. The truth is, the Torah says very clearly that's not where malik is supposed to be done. What does the Torah say? Mul arpai. So it's supposed to be in an area that's mul. It's keneged. It's a place from where you could see the oirif. It's not the oirif itself. The Gemara is going to clarify this. So although the Mishnah is using the word oirif, it's using it loosely. It does not mean oirif. Really, it means the area which is mul oirif. To give it away, it means the neck. If the sheikh does shechita from the neck, that's what he's supposed to do, shechita. Hamoylik menatzaver does malika from the tzavim, lo kapsula, the malika is going to be possible, because malika, again, is not supposed to be done from the front of the neck, it's supposed to be done from the back of the neck. Shekola oirif says the Mishnah, kosher le malika, v'chol hatzaver kosher le shechita. Malika is supposed to be done from the oirif, again, not the oirif, mul oirif. It's supposed to be done from behind the neck. Where shechita is supposed to be done from? It's supposed to be done from the throat. Nimtza, so what comes out is kasha b'shechita, the area that's kasha b'shechita, pasul b'malika, and kasha b'malika, pasul b'shechita. So the Mishnah is very wordy. It seems to have repeated itself a few times. The Gemara is going to discuss that. But the point is that the Mishnah said two things. Number one, as it relates to shechita, so we know it's the kana and the veshet, stating that you have to come from the tzavar. You can't come from behind. I mean, if you want to get the tabasak doyla, you're going to have to come from the tzavar. But you can come from the front, you can come from the back. The Mishnah clarifies you have to come from the... What about the sides? The sides are going to be okay. And that's all in contrast to the malika, where malika is just the opposite. Being that the Torah says malika has to be mul arpai. Mul arpai means the back of the neck. So there, it's just the opposite. You have to dafka come from behind the neck. If you're going to come from the front, there it's going to be possible. Says the Gemara, my oirif. The Mishnah says oirif, oirif, oirif. What does oirif mean? Ilem oirif mamish doesn't mean what oirif usually means, which is the back of the head. My ir yeshoichet. The Mishnah says if yeshoichet min oirif, it's going to be possible. But if you're Malik Min Ha'arif, it's going to be kosher. I feel Malik Nami. Mi Mul Arpa Yam Rachman of Lay Arpa. The Torah says very clearly, Malika has to be from an area that's considered Mul Arpa, not the Arif itself. Ella, my Arif, says the Gemara. When the Mishnah says Arif, it doesn't mean literally the Arif, but rather what it means is Mi Mul Arif. Kitani Seifa. And it's very mashma that way in the Mishnah itself. Because the Mishnah says, Kol Ha'arif, Kosher La Malika. What does Kol Ha'arif mean? If it means the back of the head, then it wouldn't make sense to say Kol. Because we're not discussing such a big area. The word kol ha'oiref, kol, is more matin if we're dealing with the neck, which is a larger area, and we're coming to say the entire neck. But if it means the oiref mamish, then the word kol doesn't really work. Either way, says the Gemara, even though the Mishnah uses the word oirif is misleading. It does not mean oirif. What it means is mul oirif. And even though it's not mafurish in the Mishnah, if anything, the Mishnah is mashma, just the opposite. But the word kol oirif is a little bit of a remez that we're dealing not with oirif, but rather we're dealing with mul oirif. You know what immediately says the Gemara? The Tanu Rabbanon, mi mul arpoi, mul haraya esa oirif. So how do we know that the proper place to do malika is the area that's called mul oirif? It's the back of the neck. that. It says the Gemara, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says mul arpay, which means an area that sees the earth. And there's two psukim that really support this idea. Number one, it says v'hu yoyshev mimuli. So the context over there is Parshas Balak. Vayishlach malachim abulam ben ba'ar pesayr. So when Balak gets very afraid of the Yidden, so he sends shluchim to go to Bilam ben Ba'ar, and he tells them, "Hine am yotzami Mitzrayim, hine chise eseinu aretz, v'hu yoyshev mimuli." They're in a place where I could already see them. So you see that the word mul means it's an area that you could see. Va'omer. And there's another pasuk that says, "Kifanu elai oiref v'loy ponim," that the Jews, they stuck their back towards me, not their face. My voice. What are these two psukim? So the Gemara says you need the two psukim to establish exactly where the Malkum Malikim is. Because from the words Vu Yoshem Imuli, we just know that Mul Oirif is a place from where you could see the Oirif. Okay, very nice. But where's the Oirif? So I know it has to be a place. You have to do the Malik in a place where it's v'hu yoyshev mimuli. It's a place where you could see the Eirev. But where is the Eirev? So for that, I need the second pasuk. Very simple. Tashmaki fanu elai Eirev elai panim. So you see that the Eirev is the back of the panim. Bichal the Eirev lahadi panim. Meaning you have the front is your face. Behind the face is the Eirev. Thus, it's from these two psukim, you know exactly where the Makam Malik is. Amri b'nei Rebchia. Mitzvah Maliko. Machzer simanim. Lachayre ha'oirev. Like Reb Chiya said that when the Kohen did Malika, he would take the Simanim, the Kohen and the Vashet, he would manipulate them, so he would actually move them behind the Oif, so that when he did Malika, the Malika went right into the Simanim. Meaning, when you think of Malika, so you think of the Kohen going through the spine. He's going through the back of the Oif. He's going to get to the Kana and the Veshet, but he's going to have to go through the back of the Oif. So Reb Chiya came and they said a chiddush that, no, Machzer Simanim, the Kohen first takes the Kana and the Veshet. He somehow moves them, without severing them, he moves them behind the Oif, and that's how he does the Malika. Now, there were two versions in exactly what Bnei Reb Chiya said. Ikadamri, some said, Af Machzer. That what Bnei Reb Chiya was saying was, not that the Kohen has to do that, but he can do that. It's an option. If he wants to do the Malika that way, he could do the Malika that way. Ikadamri, the other was that was said, Machzer Nafka. No. That what Bnei Reb Chiya said was, that's the only way it could be done. Zok the Gemara, Mistaber Kamandama Af Machzer. It's more Mistaber, like the Mandama that says that it's an option. Meaning, not that you have to do it, but that you can do it. Why? And the Gemara brings a geshmaker reason. The Mishnah said very clearly that shchitas chulin mino erev is going to be possible. What's the kash? Now, if you're going to tell me that the way malik is done mino erev is by being machzer, my iri malik, afilu shoychin nami, why should shchita not be okay? Meaning, the Gemara is understanding that the only reason you can't be shoychit mino erev is because the shechita has to make direct contact with the kana and the veshet. If you're going to shecht from the oirif, you're going to have to go through the spine. You're going to run into real problems. We're going to see on Amud Beis that if the spine of an animal is broken, you're running into questions of treifa, maybe even worse than treifa. We'll see on Amud Beis. But for sure, you're going to run into problems. So the issue really of being shechit min ha'oirif is not so much a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai that it has to be done in the front of the animal as opposed to the back of the animal. It's more of a practical issue. You have to get right to the kana and the veshet. And if you're going through the backbone, etc., then you're not going straight to the kana and the veshet. So what would be if you manipulated the kana and the veshet? Now it's behind the if it's behind the animal, then maybe it's going to be okay, right? That doesn't sound like it should be an issue. Elamai, so what does the Mishnah mean when it says, Hashoichid mina oirif shchitasei psula, and amoylik mina oirif mlikasek shera? If the only time moylik mina oirif shchitasek shera is if the simonim are now behind the oif, then why should shchita in that instance not be okay? The Mishnah say, malika yeah, shchita no. If malika yeah is when the simonim were behind the oif, if that's what Bnei Reb Chiya meant, that the only time you could be moylik, mitzvahs malika's machzer simonim, not af machzer simonim, but machzer simonim, it's the only way to do it. So the way you do Malika min ha'orif, l'chura, you should be able to do Shechita min ha'orif as well. El olav shema mina. From the fact that the Mishnah says you could only do Malika min ha'orif, you can't do Shechita min ha'orif. Must be when the Mishnah says you can do Malika min ha'orif, it means af machzer. It means not that you have to do Bnei Reb Chiya never meant. What they meant was if you'd like to be machzer the simonim, that's okay. And enochinami, if you're machzer the simonim, you'd be able to do Shechita as well.
The Mishnah says you can't do shechitut masisim with the layahada. The Mishnah is talking about where you were a machzor. But the point is, it makes sense to Allah of the Mishnah that malika could be done mina oirev, whereas shechita cannot be done mina oirev. Hacha b'mayaskina, where you were not machzor the simanim. But if the only time you could do malika mina oirev is when you were machzor the simanim, then it comes out l'chura you should be able to do shechita as well. Either way, that was Bnei Reb Chiya's halacha. Bnei Reb Chiya said mitzvas malika machzor simanim le'achirei. Ha'oirith, and there were two versions in exactly what Reb Chiya said, but the Gemara came out, and the Gemara said that it's more mistaber that what the Bnei Reb Chiya meant was af machzor simanim, because if they held you have to be machzor simanim, it's not really clear how to understand the mission. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yana said, Yikablu ha'roivin es shuvasim. Rashi says, roivin is referring to young children. So apparently the Bnei Reb Chiya were young, and Rabbi Yana said that the Bnei Reb Chiya, even though they said something very gishmak, but I hope they'll be able to appreciate that it's not true. Why? Because the Mishnah we spoke at, as we learned through the Mishnah, was very, very wordy. And it concluded with a rule. And whatever's kosher be malika is possibly. That seems to be extra. Obviously, it's coming to say some sort of chiddush. It seems like it's coming to say something that you would have thought is okay, is not okay. Maybe what it means is that if you're machzor the simanim by an oif that's kachim, and you do malika that way, being that it's kosher l'shchita, that's for sure, it's kosher l'shchita, then maybe that, by definition, makes it puzzle the malika. So the Bnei Reb Chiya was saying that you should be machzor simanim. In one version, you have to be machzor the simanim. In the other version, it's okay to be machzor the simanim. Said Rav Yanai, I'll bring you a raya that you cannot be machzor the simanim. It's actually worse. You know why? Because it's kosher b'shchita. And the Mishnah says anything that's kosher b'shchita is possible malika. So l'chura, isn't that what the klal of the Mishnah, kol ha'kosher b'shchita possible malika, are coming to tell me? That being that if you were machzor the siman of shchita would be kosher, that means that for malika it's not going to be kosher. The Gemara says no. Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana loy l'meute Hashem v'tzipar. Maybe it's coming to teach me something else. What it's coming to teach me is something which is kosher b'malika that is possible b'shchita. Right? The Mishnah said if it's kosher b'shchita, it's possible malika. Kosher b'malika, possible b'shchita. All we need to do, the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, or the Gemara right here, is find one chiddush, and then we can understand the whole end of the Mishnah. So maybe the chiddush is something else. The chiddush is that shein v'tzipoyrin, your tooth or your fingernail, which is kosher b'malika. Now, shein's not kosher b'malika, but tzipoyrin is kosher b'malika. Maybe the chiddush is that that's pasul l'shchita. But the Gemara says it's true. Shein v'tzipoyrin is pasul l'shchita. We had it was a Mishnah already. Shein v'tzipoyrin behedik tamis. That can't be what the chiddush in the Mishnah is. Elam Rabbi Yirmiyah. Maybe the chiddush is something else. Maybe the chiddush is that something that's kosher b'shchita is possible malika, which is moiluch hamevi. One of the five halachas the Moshe Misina, as far as how a kosher b'shchita has to happen, is that the koyin has to be moiluch hamevi. You can't take the knife and press down against the simonim and sever them that way, but he has to be a moiluch hamevi, right? He has to push his hand forward and then bring it backwards. What about malika? Can malika be done moiluch hamevi? So the classic malika is the koyin takes his fingernail, he presses right through the simonim. Is there a concept of moiluch hamevi? Is moiluch hamevi going to even be okay? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmi, you say, you know what the Sefer the Mishnah is coming to tell me? Epis ha-chiddush. Kol ha-kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika. Kol ha-kosher b'malika pasul b'shchita. The ikar chiddush is, there's something that's kosher b'shchita, which is pasul b'malika, and that is moiluch hamevi. Moiluch hamevi is kosher b'shchita. Shchita has to be done that way, but for malika, it's going to be pasul. Malika has to be dafka done with what we would call hadrasa. You have to press through. But if you don't press through, it's not going to be okay. So that's the chiddush. Nothing to do with Reb Chiya's halacha. It has nothing to do with taking the simanim and putting them behind. That's kosher b'shchita. That's also kosher b'malika. Thus, you have no kosher for the Mishnah Reb Chiya. What does the Mishnah mean when it says kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika? It means this, but the Gemara says can't be. It's not so simple. Because honey, elamanda b'malika maybe b'malika pasul. That's all. If you're malika, it's pasul b'malika. Elamanda b'kosher ma'yikalameimar. So the Gemara says b'nei Reb Chiya sabri l'kamanda amar melech umevi b'malika pasul. That malach maybe is pasul b'malika. And when the Mishnah says kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika, kosher b'malika pasul b'shchita, it's coming to say one chiddush. And what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that malach maybe, which is kosher b'shchita, is not going to be kosher b'malika. So again, what did we just say? What we just said was we had a chiddush on Bnei Reb Chiya. What Bnei Reb Chiya said is that when the kohen does malika, he takes the simanim, he's machzer the simanim la'achirei ha'oref. And there were two versions, two gersois of what Bnei Reb Chiya meant. Did Bnei Reb Chiya mean that you have to do it that way? That malika has to be done by manipulating the simanim, bringing them to the back of the bird. So what the Kohen does is Maliki goes through the Kana or the Veshet for a Chatas Oif, the Kana and the Veshet for an Oif, right? If you remember, a Chatas Oif, you only have to sever one of the Simonim, like regular Shchitas Oif Chulim. Whereas the Oilas Oif, the Torah says you have to be Mavdol. So there is a Halach, you actually have to do Malika on both Simonim. But the point is that according to Bnei Reb Chiya said, the one version was that you have to take the simanim and bring them Yachari Arif. The other version was, no, you don't have to do it, you can do it. And the Gemara said that Lachura, the second version, is the Iker version. So let's work with that one. So Bnei Reb Chiya was saying that it's okay to take the simanim, move them behind the Arif, and do the Malika that way. It's going to be kosher b'shchita, for sure. But said Bnei Reb Chiya, it would be kosher af machzeh simanim. It would be kosher by Malika as well. And the Gemara thought the Mishnah's mashma not that way. Because the Mishnah seemed to have made a very superfluous statement. Kala kosher b'shchita, pasul b'malika. V'kala kosher b'malika, pasul. It's coming to teach me some sort of chiddush. What's the chiddush? We have no idea. Maybe it's Reb Chiya's halacha. Or not like Reb Chiya. Kosher b'shchita, if you manipulate the simanim by a knife, it's going to be kosher. Even though you're coming from behind, but as long as you go straight with the simanim, it doesn't bother me. Get into the right part of the simon. That's all I care about. I don't really care so much if it's in the front or the back. What I care is, am I making direct contact with the simonim? That's the emphasis. And possible malika. So you see, it's not okay by malika. But the Gemara came out, l'maskana, no, it could be that's not what the Mishnah means. Could be the Mishnah means something else. Kolakosha b'shchita, possible malika is coming to tell me that moilachu mevi, which is the way you have to do shchita, is not the way you have to do malika. Bnei Reb Chiya must have held that moilachu mevi is possible b'malika. So when the Mishnah says kosha b'shchita, possible malika, it's l'mu'ute moilachu mevi. What it's not Lamute is Machsa Simonim, meaning Machsa Simonim, according to Bnei Reb Chiya, is going to be, oh, okay, Amar Reb Yirmiya, another halacha, Amar Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, Kala Kosha B'Shchita, anything that's Kosha B'Shchita, Kenegdai Ba'oiref, Kosher B'Malika. So anything that you're allowed to do when it comes to Shchita, whatever's considered Kosher, whatever the Shulchan Aruch is of Shchita, is okay B'Malika, with the only difference being, Shchita you do at the throat, whereas Malika is done, Mul Ha'iref, it's done on the back of the Nef. So the Gemara says, now this halacha, that Shchit is done at the throat, and Malika is done, Mul Ha'iref, that the Mishnah already said. So for that, I don't need Omer Rabbi Yirmiya Omer Shmuel. So if Rabbi Yirmiya Omer Shmuel came in to Beis Medrash and said, Kala kasha b'shchita, kenegdei ba'oref kasha b'malika, he must have meant the rest of the story. He didn't mean what he said. I mean, he meant it, it's true. But that couldn't have been the Chiddush, because we don't need Omer Rabbi Yirmiya Omer Shmuel to tell me something that the Mishnah already said. What clearly Shmuel was saying was, as a Chiddush. And what's the Chiddush? Ha'pasol b'shchita, pasol b'malika. The Chiddush must have been that there's something that's not okay in the Hilcha Shchita, which is going to be pasol b'malika as well. So what's this halacha? One halacha, it's a tenet in Hilcha Shchita that everybody understands is a problem. You should know that it's a problem by malika as well. Says the Gemara, Ile melebuta ikasimanim. Maybe what it means is ikasimanim. Another one of the five halachas l'moishim isinai is ikor. And that is that if the simanim are dislodged, so they're at a place before the shechita was done, so that in and of itself could be an issue. Says the Gemara, do we mean ikar simanim? That just like ikar simanim is a problem by shechita, so to ikar simanim is a problem by malika. That's what Shmuel was coming to be mechadesh. V'atani Rami bar Yecheskel ain't ikar simanim ba'oif. Can't be, because Rami bar Yecheskel said there's no ikar simanim ba'oif. Not malika saif, not even shechita saif. The point is no halach of ikar when it comes to oif. So you can't tell me that the chiddush of psul malika is where the simen was ne'ekar, because ikar simanim doesn't apply to oifus, period, let alone malika. Amar Papa, so the Gemara says, you're right, what it means is lamu'utei roishai. It means to say that you can't do malika on the head of the oif. Meaning, just like you can't do shchita on the face, so too you can't do malika on the head. But the Gemara says, roishai pshita, again, I don't need shmul for that. First of all, the Mishnah said it. And it's not even the Mishnah, it's a pasuk. Mimul arpa yam rachmana, v'leib roishai. So the Gemara says, no, my roishai shipui roishai. The Gemara says, like a shmak teretz, which we'll be able to go through really quickly because we already learned yesterday's daf. What it means is that if you started the shchita on the head and then you worked your way down, so you started outside of the boundary of where it was supposed to happen, what the Gemara called in yesterday's daf, hagrama, and then you worked your way in. And you ended up doing the majority of the malika in the proper place. What's the halacha? It's pasul. And you know why it's pasul? Even though the majority of the shechita was done in the right place, but if a minority of it was done in the wrong place, there were different lashonis yesterday, and Rav Huna, Rav Asi, that was all yesterday's daf. But the point is, Rav Yirmiya
Rav Shmuel was not coming to tell me the Makom HaMalika. The Mishnah says that. The Pasuk already says that. What he was coming to tell me was that just like there's a halacha of Hagrama as it relates to Shechita, so too there's a halacha of Hagrama when it comes to Malika. So what would be if the Kohen started doing Malika on the head and then he worked his way down to Mul Oirev and he got the majority of it in Mul Oirev according to the Rabbanon in the Mishnah and Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, where that was Machlokes Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda, so you have to work out all the different variables. But on the tzad that it would be a problem by Shechita, you should know it would be a problem as it relates to Malika as well. And again, even though we see that not all the halachas in Leishim Yisinai of Shechita relate to Malika, we just said there's no ikra simanim ba'oif, right? So not all the halachas relate, but as relates to this halacha, it'd be the same thing. So the Gemara just mentioned this halacha that there's no ikra simanim when it comes to an oif. So again, if one of the simanim are dislodged in an animal, it's a problem. What about an oif? So Rami Bar Yecheskel said a groundbreaking chiddush. He said, "Ein ikra simanim ba'oif." Zokta Gemara. So Rav Acha Brei de Rava told Rav Ashi, "We have to qualify this halacha. It's not necessarily something that everybody is going to agree with, but rather, I believe," he said, "it's totally in a very, very important machloikis, and that is where the shchitas oif is minat Torah." Or shchitas oif is not minatar. According to Madama, that says that the fact that you even have to shecht an oif is midrabban. There's no concept of shchita when it comes to an oif. So if you hold that ain't shchita mina oif, min ha-toyrah, then you're going to have the halach run by Yecheska. But if you hold shchita min ha-toyrah, yesh ikor. If shchitas oif is midrabban, then you have to have the halach of ikor. Then ikor would be a problem. If shchita is only midrabanan, okay, so midrabanan, maybe there's no halacha of ikor. But if shchita is oif, is midday rice. If midday rice, you have to shecht an oif. So Rav Achabed told Rav Ashi, "I don't see why there shouldn't be halacha of ikor." Amalez, Rav Ashi told him, "In svara, I can hear just the opposite." Gishmak. Adarab, ipcha mestap. The man says, shchita leif menatayro. Ikel, maybe the halacha yakmire. You could say that's the halacha l'meishim yisinai, the ein ikor. Right, if you hold shchita leif is menatayro. Okay, so it's midday raisa, so the Torah can dictate whatever the Torah dictates. It could say that when it comes to shchitas behemis, is a loch of ikur, and when it comes to shchitas oifis, is no ikur. Rashi says that when we say yesh shchita loif mena Torah, what we mean is halacha l'maish v'sinas. These are all halacha l'maish v'sinas anyways. So as it relates to behema, the halacha is ikur, and when it relates to oif, there is no ikur. But says the Gemara, but if you're going to, vafilu mandama ki behema, le'inyan ikur le'la havi ki behema, right? It's possible that it's not mamish like elam adam ein shchita leif menat Torah, but according to adam that says ein shchita leif menat Torah elam midiray soifim. It's only within the rabbanim mehechik mirila. So if shchitas oif is only with the rabbanim, where does it come from? What's the source? The shchitas oif, you learn it from shchitas leif. Just like the Torah said that you have to shecht the behema, the chachamim said that you have to shecht an oif. So essentially, the laws of shchitas oif are coming from, they're a derivative of the laws of shchitas behema. If that's the case, kula milsik behema. Called the tikkun rabbana came to raisa tikkun, right? So it would make sense then that the laws of shchitas oif should mirror the laws of shchitas behema. So the Rav Ashi said, I think it's just the opposite. Rav Achav the Rav wanted to say that if shchitas oif is menat Torah, there has to be halacha l'mayshem sinai of ikor. If it's only midrabbana, no, maybe there's no halacha of ikor. Zok Rav Ashi, I hear what you're saying. You know, at first glance, it seems very reasonable. If it's midday rice, it's more chomer, there should be ikor. If it's midday rabbanan, it's less chomer, there shouldn't be ikor. But if you think about it like a lamdan, it's just the opposite. Because if it's midday rice, so then it's its own halacha. If it's its own halacha, mechateset, it has to be halacha of ikor. I buy behemoth, there's ikor? No. By behemoth, there's ikor. By yav, there's no ikor. But if it's midday rabbanan, then it's not its own halacha. That means it's all a toitza'a, it's learnt out from Shchitas Behema. So l'chur, if Shchitas Behema has a din of Ikur, then Shchitas Oif should have to have a din of Ikur as well. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabino, Amali Ravan Bar Kisi. Rabino said, I heard from Ravan, the son of Kisi. Kisi Rashi says is the name of a chacham. Hadatani Rami by Yecheskel. Ain't ikur simanim ba'oif. Lo yamar and ela b'malika. He said another halacha that this Rami by Yecheskel said that there's no ikur simanim ba'oif. That's only true by malika. Avol b'shchita yesh ikur. But as relates to shchita, there is ikur. Freik the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar Shmuel. Did Rabbi Yirmiyah say in the name of Shmuel Laman Aleph? Kol akasha b'shchita ganeg the ba'oif kasha b'malika. Hapasul. Right. He seemed to say that the halachas mirror each other. We said as it relates to hagrama, so l'chura as it relates to ikur as well. You see, there's no difference between shchita and malika. Just like shchita has hagrama, we saw, so too malika has hagrama. So doesn't it make sense to say then, just like shchita, if you're telling me that really shchita soif has the halacha l'mayshim yisinai of ikur, it's only malika that doesn't. How does it stem with what Shmuel said? So the Gemara says, I hear, hahu pliga. Okay. It's not a problem. You have to say Rami bar Yechezkel and Shmuel were at odds with each other. They didn't necessarily agree with each other. But either way, this is a second qualification of what Rami bar Yechezkel said. Again, Rami bar Yechezkel said a halacha ein ikur simanim ba'oif. The first qualification is the Gemara suggested a machlokes Rav Acha Brei Rava and Rav Ashi that this halacha is toloi in whether yesh shchita la'if min ha'Torah or ain shchita la'if min ha'Torah. Rav Acha Brei Rava saw it one way, Rav Ashi saw it another way. But the point is, Rami bar Yechezkel's halacha is toloi in a machloikis. The second thing that we see from this Gemara is what Ravina said that he heard from Ravin, the son of the Chacham Kisi, who said that Rami Yechezkel only meant it with regards to Malika. He never meant it with regards to Shechita. Omar Ze'iri. So we'll start the next Gemara, which is really going to segue into tomorrow's daf, but let's just make das chol. Omar Ze'iri, Nishbara, Mefarekes, V'roiv Basar Ima, Nevela. If an oif, its spine, the cracks, so the neck bone cracks, and roiv of the basar, goes away, the halach is, it gets a din of an avail. Now, Ze'iri was saying, a chiddush al gabi chiddush. Number one, Ze'iri said that an animal can't live if nishbara mifarekes. But usually, if you have a live animal that can't live, it's what's halachically deemed a treifa. Now, treifa has a very special place in Shulchan Aruch. It's very, you're not allowed to eat a treifa. The word treif comes from the treifa of the Torah. That's an animal that has a wound that's not going to allow it to live at pashtis more than 12 months. So the fact that nishbara mifarekes should be an issue is not such a chiddush. But what did Ze'iri say? Nishbara mifarekes, v'roiv basar ima nevela. And it's that word that was marish olamos once upon a time in the world of the Yavirah. He said that not only is it a treifa, it's an avela. Now, l'may nafkamina, if it's a treifa, you can't eat it. If it's an avela, you can't eat it. It's going to be tameh tumas nevela. Right? The most basic difference between a nevela and a treifa in halacha is a treifa, as long as it has a good shchita, does not have tumah. Whereas an avela, the Torah says, is metama. It's metama tumas maga, and it's metama tumas masa. So Ze'iri said that an oif, or an animal, that's nishbara mifarekes, v'roiv basarima, the neck bone breaks, it gets a din of an avela. I'm Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda, half an hour, 19. I actually think I have a riot to this. A riot from Mishnah Masechta Zvachim. Malak Besakin. If the Koyein did Malika, it's a Chata Se'oif, it's a Oila Se'oif. He did Malika, but instead of doing Malika with his fingernail, he did it with a knife. So the Halach is Mitame Begodim Abes Habliya. Interesting Chiddush. The Halach is if he did Malika with a Sakin, the animal right now is going to be Tameh. It's going to have tumas nevela of a knife, which is a very unique type of tumas. It's metama begodim beis abliya, which means that if somebody takes the oif, he puts it in his mouth, the clothing that he's wearing becomes tame. So if the oif is beis abliya, meaning it's in his mouth, and he's wearing begodim, those begodim become tame. The point is malak besakin. If the kohen did malika with a knife, the halacha is the animal has tumas nevela. What's the kasha? Why is it tummy tumas nevela? At the end of the day, he did shchita. He was malak pesakin. So it's not a good malika, nothing to talk about. From a kachem perspective, has to be yoitzel beis asreifa. It's definitely not going to be a good malika. But why is it tummy tumas nevela? Tummy tumas nevela means that not only is it a kasha malika, it's also not a kasha shchita. Why isn't it a kasha shchita? At the end of the day, he did a shchita. What should be the problem? So you're going to tell me because he had to break the mefarekes. Okay, so it was a treifa. But why is it, at the end of the day, there was a shchita done. So if there was a shchita done, then l'chayra, what's the problem? Tahami lo sakin l'tara midei nevela. Okay, we'll see more about this tomorrow. But let the shchita, at the very least, be metarin, and there should be no tumas nevela. So what do you see from here? L'chayra, you see that as soon as the mefarek is broke, it already became a nevela. So by the time the shchita was done, it was already too late. So you can ask me, kasha, has every malika done? Every malika is that way. It's Gemara's kasha. It's going to be Rava's kasha tomorrow's daf. But for right now, what the Gemara is saying is that why is it that Malak Pesakin, which is for sure a Pasal Malika, renders the animal a Nevela? Why a Nevela? At the end of the day, you had a Sakin, you cut through the Kan and the Veshet, let it at the very least be a Shchita, not to allow you to eat it. It's a very problematic bird. You have to run to a Chacham for this bird. But at the same time, Tumas Nevela, the Chayr had a good Shchita. Elamai, once you cut through the Mefarekes V'roi Basar, it was already a Nevela. So by the time you did the Shchita, you were Shechting a Nevela. That's clearly going to be too late. But the Gemara says, no, it's not Muchach. Amri Hasam Mishum Delav Shchita Ikla. If you Malak Pesakin, Senitkan good Shchita. My time, or why not? And the Gemara gives two reasons. Rav Huna said, Mimnesha Hu Machlid. Rava Amar Rava said, Mimnesha Hu Dairus. Rav Huna said, because you're running into, you're going to trip up on one of the five
halacha of Moshe Sinai, which cover the laws of Shechita, and that is chalad. So what does chalad mean? So loosely translated, what it means is that the knife of the Shechit has to be exposed when he does the Shechit. It's not allowed to be covered. If it's covered, it's a problem. Chalad is from the word chul. Chulda, the Gemara is going to say, which is a weasel, which lives underneath houses, it burrows. The point is that it's covered, it's not disclosed, and that's a problem. So the knife has to be, so the Rav Huna said, the problem is that when you go through the bone, the back of the animal, because the neck bone is hard to crack, so even though there's going to be a crack in it, you're not going to be able to see the knife. It's going to be very hard to see the knife. So in that way, you do a shechita, the Gemara says, meravach ravach, the throat of the animal is exposed, so you could see the shechita. There's never a chalada problem. The knife has to be exposed straight through the shechita process. So if you come from the tzaver, that's always the case. But if you come from behind, it's not going to be the case. Because you're coming from behind, the neck bone, which is, it's going to be hard to make it go away. It's going to, at the very least, cover the sakin. That's going to be the issue. So Rav Huna said, no, it could be if you can really do a good shechita from behind, a shechita that's oiskehalten with halachas l'moshe misina of how shechita has to be done, then I think it would be okay. I think there would be no tumas nevela. It's not a riot to ziri that nishbra mefarekes nevela. The reason it's betama tumah beis abli over this because you didn't have a good shechita. Why wasn't there a good shechita? Because it was chal. Rava said neishu dairis. You have the problem of dairis. You're pressing. You're not being boiluchu mevi. Says the Gemara gishmak. Madam of neishu machlid. The madam of that said the problem is chalada. My time elam b'shem dairis. So what's the reason? We already know the reason based on Amar Aleph, because of Malika Mevi Malika Kasha. Who said you can't be Malika Mevi when you do Malika? So when the mission said Malach Besakin, who said you weren't Malika Mevi? If Malika can't be done Malika Mevi, then Malach Besakin by definition means you were Dairis. Darisa by definition is a psul. That's why the animals aren't available, because you never did a Kasha Shechita. But if you could do Malika Malika Mevi, then maybe when the Mishnah says Malach Besakin, it means you were Malika Mevi. If you were Malika Mevi, so it is a good Shechita. So you can't tell me the reason it's not a good Shechita is because you were Malika Mevi. Mehechatesi, you weren't Malika Mevi. Because it says Malach, you could do Malika but Malika Mevi. So the man that said that the reason the Shechita is not a good Shechita is because of Chalati, he must hold that Malika Mevi is Kasha Malika. Dairis, and the mama that says, because he's Dairis, my time of the Elam Neshu, Machlid, why did he say, I'm a little Chalada, hey, Chidami, what's the Taich of Chalada, Kechulda Hadarab Ikri Batim? That's like the weasel that lives underneath houses. The Mechasi, it's 100% this, you can't see it at all. Hachaha Megalia, over here, even though it's not completely exposed, but at the same time, it's not completely covered either. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you look closer, you could see the knife. You're right, the bone is there, it's not. But chalada, which the Gemara will discuss in greater detail in the second parak, but for now, chalada would mean to me, according to that manda amar, that it's completely closed, it's completely covered. Being that this is not completely covered, it will not be considered chalada.